And welcome once again to Community Focus, our public affairs program on 97.5 Glory FM. I'm Mike Weifert. We're talking about the upcoming runoff election taking place next Tuesday. Of course, early voting continues today through Friday. And my special guest this morning is one of the candidates running to become the new Hall County Commissioner for District Number 3, and that is Tyler Crawford joining me this morning. Good to have you with us once again, sir.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Mike. Always a joy to be here, getting to hear you and watching the stuff. I know we talked about it last time, but it's always really cool to watch it.
So. I appreciate that very much. So, Tim, what did you learn since the primary election?
I think the biggest thing that I learned was that the door knocking actually paid off. And so when I looked at the precinct results, the two that I won by, I guess, a decent amount, which would have been Big Hickory and Quillian's. That's where I had spent most of the time in. So Big Hickory was Ben Parks Road. I'd walked the entirety of that road. And then, of course, Jake Kemp and George Barnes and Hubert Stevens. And so everything in that area. So that precinct turned out to vote for me. And then also Quillian's with all the neighborhoods that I'd been in recently. So in the last... oh, I would say probably 2 or 3 months. There's a number of neighborhoods. I don't want to bore you with all the neighborhood names, but pretty much anybody on 129. I looked at it as kind of a who was closest to the community center, and so it was easy for me to get over there. And so I really Highland Gate was the first one, but really I kind of worked out away from the community center. And I figured if people were that close to the community center, then it would be pretty easy for them to go vote. And it seems like that's what they did. The other one that was kind of interesting was Candler. I have a couple friends down there, but I hadn't gotten a chance to spend much time before May. I have since door knocked a lot and down there on Candler off of like Poplar Springs and Candler Highway and Roy Parks Road. So I'd spent some time in there since that May 19th election date, but I was very interested to see or really surprised to see that I did very well down there, having not spent a whole lot of time. But again, I've got a couple of really good friends, and I'm sure they... you know, that they went out to stump for me. So I was glad to see that return.
All right. So remind me, I had no idea. Where does District 3 go down that way? And where is Jeff Stowe's area starting in District 4?
Yeah. So it's out Poplar Springs Road. Oh, man, I'm trying to remember what the name of where it starts. Something Circle. So it's just past whatever. Oh, gosh.
You're going south from Athens Highway.
Oh, okay. If you're going that way, it actually follows Sherman Allen, so like a little bit. So then it runs out through Candler, and then
had no idea.
And then, man, that neighborhood that's on the right, the big one on the right that like got annexed into the city, the District 3 starts just after that because, of course, okay. If you're in the city, then you're District 4. So it's something, some tiny little circle.
It's
road.
Even bigger than I thought it was, though. I mean, we're talking going from Talmo to Murrayville. That's a big enough area as it is.
Yeah. The line down there is very odd. It's not really straight. It does follow Poplar Springs for like half of that road, but it takes a little bit of a detour on either end. So yeah, it gets odd down there. You know, cause you see this weird overlap with like somebody else's sign, you know, down there.
Absolutely.
I'm like, this is District 3. What are they signs doing out here? Of course, you know, it's on the border. So, you know, you get people coming either way, but you're like, there is part of that where you're like, am I in District 3 right now? Because I'm seeing signs for, you know, Mark Turner and Corey Anderson. Like, am I in the right place?
Right.
So, it gets a little weird down there.
So you're talking about turnout. How important is turnout, you think, for this runoff election?
Oh, man. Yeah, everything. I think, you know, when you historically look at runoff elections, you don't really gain any votes. You're just trying to solidify your base to get out to vote. And so, you know, I felt like that, you know, like I said, just from a historical standpoint, I do feel that this race is different because there's so many other races on the ballot that I think the turnout is going to be better than it's been in a runoff historically. You know, like if you cared about the governor race or lieutenant governor or senate or any of the other stuff, like you're going to go back because none of it was decided. So I do think the turnout will be better than really probably any of the other runoffs. You know, I think like the last time runoff when David and Greg were in a runoff, you know, I think we talked about it, but you know, it was really just them and a judge, and they had hardly anybody turn out for that because there really just wasn't anything on the ballot. And that's not the case this time around, obviously, right? So that, and then of course, you know, Steve Gailey endorsed me, and he came to a couple events we were doing. So, you know, if I can kind of tap into that resource as well and really kind of shore up the people that had voted for Steve, then, you know, I feel like I stand a pretty good chance here.
Our guest this morning on Community Focus is Tyler Crawford. who was running against Shannon Davidson for the runoff election for the District 3 seat on the Hall County Commission. And Davidson will be my guest coming up on Friday morning here on 97.5 Glory FM. So let's start things off by getting the thing out of the way here, okay? Tell me about what's going on in this political action committee that has been sending out mayors in the District 3 area for you.
Yeah, that was wild. I didn't have any clue what was going on there because and it was interesting because they reached out to several, right? So there was there were 8 county commissioners that they reached out to and then 4 candidates.
And, this is statewide.
Yeah, statewide. And so nobody had seen any of this stuff. And I think one of the county commissioners reached out to ACCG. Another one reached out to their county attorney. Nobody had seen a political action committee at the local level yet. And so this was really almost kind of on the leading edge, kind of bleeding edge of that kind of money coming down. But essentially, you know, my version of the story here, at least what they did with me, is a guy reached out to me and said, hey, we would like to do some mailers. And I said, okay, cool. Send me a sample of what you got. Because of course, if they had told me that I still think it's money laundering. But, you know, if they told me they were going to spend $40,000, I would have told them absolutely not, because I'm not interested in any kind of amount that looks anything like that. My thought would have been, if they were going to print off something that I could take with me door knocking, I would rather have something that I could leave with a couple bullet points rather than what I'd leave now, which is just my business card. And then the county, since we've been doing our comp plan stuff, I have a flyer for that too that I leave. But essentially, you know, I was kind of waiting in the wings for them to get back with me, and they never did. And then all of a sudden it pops up on the internet that, oh, we looked at the State Filings Commission and they have all the stuff on you. And so, you know, there was only one other person that I talked to. I did talk to everyone except one of the county commissioners. I could not get a hold of him. So I talked to 10, because I'm one of them. So I talked to 10 other people that they are claiming to have spent money on. And almost all of them, except for two other people, so half of them didn't even respond. In fact, they didn't even know what I was talking about. They had to go look in their spam folder, or they had to go you know, like they had to go hunt down where the message came in, and they hadn't even responded. And then so there was one other guy that was in the same boat as me. He said, hey, send me a sample of what you got. You know, Kathy, you know, when I talked to her, Kathy got a phone call. She said she wasn't interested. So it was a very weird process to basically not consent to anything and not even get to that point in the conversation of, you know, this is what it looks like. And then all of a sudden it you know, is out there on the internet. Oh, well, they spent all this money on you. It's like, how is this possible? And then I still think it's money laundering. They're claiming money on digital advertising. I never saw that. They claimed that they spent money on texting. I think I had a couple people message me. So you're talking like, I think I've had maybe 15 or 20 people actually reach back out to me and say, hey, I did actually get something.
There were mailers going out to the District 3 community.
Yes. Yeah. And then the other goofy part is the people that got a flyer, they got more than one. So like, I don't know how does that work? You know, if you're going to send something out, it doesn't really, in my opinion, make sense to send multiple things to one address. So
different voters on the rolls and just send out whoever's there at that address.
Yes. Yeah. And so the whole thing to me is scammy. You know, it's a 501c4 where the money comes in and then they don't have to, you know, they don't have to say anything. Then it all gets spent with a super PAC. And then the super PAC spends all of its money with an LLC. So it does feel extremely scammy. I also don't know how it came out, because if you look at the State Filings Commission, their website, you cannot find any of us that they are claiming to spend money on, because we're not state level employees. So we're not in their database by name. So you have to know that the private property action pack, I think something like that. So you have to know who the pack is. Then you have to go into their CCDR. Then when you finally open that PDF, then you have to scroll down to where we are. So in my opinion, you whoever this person was on the internet that put this stuff out there, they either know somebody in that pack, or they're in that, I don't know if you want to call it an ecosystem, but they're in that world where they would have that on their radar. So again, it feels very scammy to me that it came out that way, because whoever's putting this out there, they knew where to look. Like, you're not going to accidentally find this. So,
but I was told that you could go on the Secretary of State's website and find the information about how much they were spending on your campaign.
Correct. Yeah. But when you search the State Filings Commission, you cannot search Tyler Crawford. You cannot search Kathy Cooper. We don't come up.
Mm-hmm.
You have to search the pack name, and then you have to go to the right CCDR. You have to open that PDF, and then we are mentioned there in there. So, yes, we are on the state's page, but you would not accidentally find us. You have to know where it is.
Okay, so, for example, did you or your family receive one of these mailers?
No.
As your registered voter?
No.
Okay.
I haven't gotten anything.
Okay.
I know
Steve Gilley got one. So what?
There
what,
you go.
So you saw the content. How was the content?
Weird. And when you look at the PAC stuff or Super PAC specifically, because there's two different ones, right? So the Super PACs are supposed to be independently operating from the candidate. They're not supposed to have any kind of direction at all.
Right.
PAC's different. Just a traditional PAC. But so yeah. So when they came out there, or when I saw the flyer, you know, because I think Steve did, and then I got another text message. Very odd that they used my middle name. I've never used that for anything. So, you know, it's like Tyler Miles Crawford. I'm like, that's odd. And then they unfortunately mentioned East Hall Band Program. And I called up, Vince, who's the band director over there. And I guess technically my boss when I work over there. But I said, Vince, man, I'm so sorry that you guys got drug into this, because I never would have put that on there. I love working there. It's an absolute vacation. That you just happen to get paid for. It's such a wonderful place to be. But I would not have put that on a political flyer like that. That's such a weird part of that. So there wasn't really anything else that I thought was goofy. They have to get pictures that are publicly available by law. So I wasn't surprised to see what they used on there ultimately. But yeah, the flyer I wouldn't have done it, but again, you can't give any direction or else you break the law.
All right, so there were, I understand, multiple mailings that took place, though. Were you not able to get back in touch with them and say, you know, hey, I don't want this or what?
Right, yeah. So they had, not only did I, you know, there was I had one person call me, the guy Alex. I don't even really believe it's his name. But I never heard from them again, I never reached back out to them. So like, and after it came out, it was already past, you know, cause they sent everything out and that got there, you know, if May 19th is election day, they didn't send anything out until like May 18th.
Mm-hmm.
So their timeline was, you know, again, if I was directing them, which I wasn't, it was like, man, why would you guys send this out so late? It doesn't make any sense to send a flyer out, you know, the day before, and, you know, after we've had a month of early voting. And so I think one of the, or maybe two of the other ones. I know one of the people, or the guy that told his county attorney, he tried to send them something on a cease and desist or whatever. But again, it doesn't really work that way. Cause you know, again, the threshold for if you're breaking the law or not is being directed. So I guess if you try to make the case that you are directing them to do something, then you're breaking, was that CFR, I guess, the, federal regulations.
So tell me this, I was told that you'll have to, in your next filing about contributions, will have to include this on your form. Is that correct?
No. So we talked about that. That was really kind of the first thing that came up. And that was through, again, the guy that talked to his county attorney, and then ACCG, once the other county commissioner reached out to them. So no, the Super PAC money is not something that you would claim on your own personal CCDR. So it, like I said, it's entirely separate because again, the threshold is directing. If you direct them, right, if you do have the smoking gun of, I want to see this and I want to see this and you need to make changes here, then you would have to claim that because you are in control of that expenditure at that point.
Okay.
But if you never did anything and you never heard anything and never signed off on anything, then no.
All right. Again, I guess this morning on Community Focus is Tyler Crawford, who's in the runoff election for District 3 Hall County Commission coming up next Tuesday. I'm Mike Weinfurt with you here. So let's talk about some of the issues going on. One of the biggest things going on right now that's just hitting over the past few days is the potential location of the new courthouse. What's your stand on that right now?
My position, I said this at the chamber meeting last week, and I was like, you know, I don't mind wearing a flak jacket every time I come down here for this, but the Bradford Street is the worst possible place to put that thing. Where they want to put it right now is asinine to me. Like, why would you put it so far away? Their whole argument is we can't put it on Browns Bridge because then we're, you know, you don't have anywhere to eat and the jurors are going to be hungry at lunch and all this kind of stuff. Nobody's going to walk from like blocks away to the square, you know, best case scenario, they're going to drive. But the whole thing to me, and again, you know, I'm not trying to mince words here. to me, it feels very scammy. Again, this thing that we have to spend money over here, we have to eminent domain these properties over here. In my opinion, this whole thing was it was already kind of cast in. This idea where they want to do it. I think, in my opinion, David Gibbs is a fly in the ointment. If he had lost, this thing would have just already been rammed through there. I think that it's only coming up for discussion now because there's people involved in the process that are questioning it. But I think this thing was really supposed to be already a done deal. Again, like I said, Bradford is the worst possible place, in my opinion. The Weaver Law Firm makes way more sense. That corner then would be right next door to the courthouse. The other option, I have several options if you want to like soapbox on this thing for a minute. 300 Henry Ward Way, which is the administration building, I believe, for the city of Gainesville. I don't know why you can't buy that from the city. There's nothing in that administration building that has to be there. By proximity being next door to the courthouse, it makes way more sense to have some sort of judicial service in there than it does for generic city services. The city services can be anywhere. Yeah, you'd like to be downtown by the square. But ultimately, if there's a building next door to the courthouse that can be used for that, then I think you work a deal with the city to be able to use that. So again, like Bradford is the worst possible place for it. The other one that nobody likes up there the courthouse people don't seem to like is, and I brought this up, I think, the last time, we're in a Northeast Judicial Circuit with Dawson County. Why does Dawson County not contribute anything to any of this stuff? They have a courthouse. They meet out there, I think, whenever they need to, right? Because Judge Bearden, I think, he's out there. So, we have a very part-time courthouse set up in Dawson County, yet Dawson County is somewhere around 18 or 20% of the caseload, but yet they contribute almost nothing. When you go back and look at their SPLOST that they just passed, I believe it's SPLOST 8. They're like a number behind us, I think. But when you look at their current SPLOST, we're talking about $125 million for a courthouse expansion. We're talking about $25 million for a parking deck. Dawson County SPLOST, they have in there that they're going to contribute $500,000. I'm sorry, but $500,000 is not enough money if you are 20% or 18% of the caseload for the Northeast Circuit. You're not a partner at this point. You are basically, I hate to use the word mooching off of it, but you kind of are. So I don't understand why we're not in a partnership. You would think that 20% of the bill would be to Dawson County. My opinion has been for quite a while that this whole thing is scammy, that it's we're spending money with our friends because they're doing real estate deals. We have to spend SPLOST money. The only language they know up there is spending money. And the whole thing to me nobody's asking any questions. It's just we're just buying this hook, line, and sinker. You know, we had a study out there that we need a 6th Superior Court judge. I don't believe that either. When I look at the numbers, and I have here, to do the paper sound effect here. But, I brought their caseload thing, and the caseload doesn't even agree with this. So I'm like, I don't understand where the 6th Superior Court judge thing is coming from. Again, there's so many questions that need to be asked out in a public context, and they don't seem to be willing to do that.
All right, so they're going to vote on Thursday night. At least it's going before the commission meeting tomorrow night about the purchase of the Grubbs Market for the parking deck. So we're going to start with the parking deck and then the courthouse we're looking at.
Yeah, and then we're also going to overpay for Grubbs Market, right? It was $1.5 million or whatever, and it was like, if you go look at the property tax stuff, not only is the valuation off of that, but the fair market value was not even close. So it's like, yeah, we're going to overpay for this property. And then you go look at, of course the agents that are involved in this transaction are known to Hall County government and involved in an impact fee committee and all sorts of things. So, again, it just seems very much like we are taking taxpayer money and we're going to spend money with our friends. And don't question us because we've done all the legwork, right? So you don't have to ask any questions. You don't have to pry into this. We have all the answers. We've already looked at all this stuff. It's already a done deal. And where we're at now is, why are we doing this?
Again, our guest this morning on Community Focus is Tyra Crawford, who's running for Hall County Commission District 3. And, of course, you mentioned earlier, pardon me again, my voice here this morning, as what you were talking about the Hall County survey, you hear the commercials on our station talking about urging all the citizens who are voters to go out and cast your opinions on the survey for the comprehensive plan and for the UDC, Universal Development Code, the upgrade, I would call it that, the they had to go every so years. I heard yesterday at the work session, it's something they have to do and looking at the plan they need for the upcoming future. Give me your ideas about where we should go with this.
Yeah, well, you know, I've said before, the 2017 to 2024 comprehensive plan, I actually really, really like. I think if we had kept that, we would be not in near as much of a problem scenario, specifically off of Cagle Mill Road, you know, where they're basically trying to kick people out of white sulfur around the inland port. There's a lot of things that we changed in the current comprehensive plan that I think we ratified it December 9th, 24. So, and it came into effect like January 1, probably 25. But there's a lot of things that I don't agree with in the current plan. And I've talked about this before a number of times. The employment and business nodes corridors is really the wild west of zoning. It's where we allowed just about anything to go in there, and it took over 365. It took over 129. They expanded that corridor specifically by, you know, almost 50%. And so that is really, I think, the single biggest problem with the current comprehensive plan. Unfortunately, when you look at the ordinance changes and the character area changes and the current comprehensive plan changes, they're not talking about corridors. They're only really talking about specifically the character areas and what zoning classifications they would allow in a character area, which is a problem. I mean, a very valid problem. In fact, I would say this current, what we have talked about the last 2 weeks here from the county standpoint, last night we had North Hall Community Center, they had two last week. Everything that they're talking about currently is a step in the right direction, in my opinion. The ordinance proposed changes that they have are needed. The character area changes that they have proposed are needed. So everything's a step in the right direction, but we're, I don't know, like 6, 7, 8 steps away from getting back to where we were back in 2024. I think we really need to, we either need to scale back the corridor stuff, or we need to look at what is permissible in that particular corridor. Because like I said, again, the employment and business nodes corridors, it's everything. Like, you can allow just about anything that you want in that specific corridor. So
with that, right now we don't have a planning commission. I mentioned to Mark Turner yesterday about that. Give me your opinions about, are you in favor of having a planning commission again?
Absolutely. I think the planning commission, if you do it right, it provides two things that are needed. One, it provides an opportunity to like really hash out conditions. So when I look at the planning commission's, and there's not really an officially stated mission statement for the planning commission, but in my head, the planning commission is really the ironing out process for any of the conditions that are needed, right? So like, you have a comprehensive plan, planning staff makes a recommendation for approval or denial based on the comprehensive plan. But when you have certain things in certain places, you really need conditions to protect what else is around you. And so, you know, if you are recommended for approval, you know, that's different. But you still need, and you can kind of supplement this with the Unified Development Code. But I really feel like the Planning Commission's goal should be to iron out conditions, so that way you're teeing it up for the Board of Commissioners to make a decision.
But I mean, hasn't Katie Ahmed and the department done a great job in the last 8 months since there hasn't been a commission?
For sure. They're doing, when I read the staff recommendation reports, I feel that they are much more comprehensive plan oriented compared to where they used to be. You know, I think the argument when the Planning Commission was doing the secret meetings and all that kind of stuff, that they were influencing staff, the recommendation report, and they were influencing the conditions behind closed doors. So yes, I think the staff reports are better generally than what we had probably a year ago. But again, I think that process needs to be out in the public. I would like to see personally, I know some people don't agree with this, but I would like to have the Planning Commission meetings like on a Saturday morning. I think they, as long as they need to go, they go. And if they're there for an hour each application, then they're there for an hour each application. Like, that's just going to be part of the job. And you need that public forum to be able to get everybody's opinion in place, right? Be on the record, get your thoughts in, right? Because right now, without a planning commission, this is the second half of why we need one. Right now, the timeline is so short. You only have one meeting. So by the time you hear about an application, you're going to have essentially 20 days before the commissioners hear it. And that's it, right? You know, maybe they table it, but you only have the one meeting right now in theory. And so we need a larger timeline for some of these. Now, variances and all that stuff, yeah, some of those are pretty easy. You know, like I want a 25-foot yard setback rather than a 30. Yeah, you don't need a lot of time on that. But some of these ones, you know, we have one coming up on Jim Hood Road. We're going to hear Ben Parks again, you know, for potentially when the moratorium ends. So, yes, there's a lot of things that need
All right, with that, quickly here, we're running out of time this morning, is with... with the idea of the moratorium with the high density development, we see that when talking to Mark Turner down in District Number 1. So how do you think it's going to affect District 3? And give me your opinions about high density development.
I unfortunately think that when my guess is the moratorium is going to end. I don't really see them continuing the moratorium. I think the justification for the moratorium was we didn't pay attention, and this is a commissioner's side of it. We didn't pay attention to what was in the comprehensive plan. We passed this thing. We didn't know what was in it because nobody read it. It's kind of like Obamacare, right? We got to pass it to know what's in it. And so the problems that we had with all these goofy applications was causing the need for the moratorium, because then they realized, oh yeah, it does actually allow all this junk. And so they passed a moratorium with the idea that we were going to modify our comprehensive plan development code. Well, we've had that time. Their justification for renewing it was, we spent all this time on the planning commission. We didn't have a chance to look at it. We need to renew it. Okay, you did, right? So we haven't had the planning commission this entire time. You guys have been trying to get somewhere on this. I don't see a justification anymore for the moratorium. I think, unfortunately, depending on how the races go, I think we're going to see all kinds of just garbage. I think that that September, October, November, December, kind of a lame duck session, if you will. I think we're going to see anything and everything in there. I think if you're going to do a development that does not meet our future goals for a comprehensive plan, you know that your time is limited. You know that you only have a couple months that you got to get it in. So I think we're going to see just a mess. I think we're going to see trash at every voting meeting. It's going to be a nightmare, in my opinion. I hope it's not that way, but it feels like it's going to be that way.
But again, are you for high density developments?
No, absolutely not. In District 3, in unincorporated District 3, I think we have two great zoning classifications. We have R1. I've said this a number of times, so apologize if you heard it before. R1 in a corridor. This is my personal comprehensive plan. R1 in a corridor, so that's going to be basically your main state routes. R1 is a half an acre if you have sewer, 0.8 of an acre if you don't, and then R1L if you are off the beaten path. So if you're on a county road, you know, like Jim Hood Road, Ben Parks Road, R1L would be the zoning classification that I'd be for. That's an acre if you have water, an acre and a half if you're on a well. In my opinion, that's what we would need to see in unincorporated District 3. If you want high-density development, then go to a city. Go to another municipality. You can go anywhere else. We've got cities here in District 3. You got Lula might be interested. I mean, Lula's passed some stuff that I wouldn't be interested in. You know, that was at Mountain View Road, I think, where they passed some townhomes up there. So maybe Lula is interested in that. I have no clue. But I'm not interested in that in unincorporated District 3. Not at all.
All right, final thing. Talk to our listeners and tell them why they should be voting for you.
Like I said before, I think I'm already kind of doing the job. I've been at all of the comprehensive plan meetings. I've been door knocking as much as I can. I really feel a calling to try to get out in front of people and meet them where they are. That's why I hope, you know, if I've seen you at your house, I appreciate all the time that you've given me. But I feel like this job is just, it's so much more than what the current commissioners are giving it. And I feel like I'm doing that. I've been trying to really hear from people and get a better understanding of what we want in District 3, especially unincorporated parts. But, you know, my background in it, I've read the code as much as I can in a lot of these things. I've written conditions for applications, so I get to put my, you know, kind of planning hat on. You know, and there's a lot of little stuff that we talked about last time, I think, you know, from the landfill, from the recycling center. There's so many great ideas out there, and I'm not coming up with all of them. You know, I mean, there's plenty of people that I've talked to that I have to give credit for. But I think, you know, there's a lot of neat things that we can have on the horizon from the commission standpoint. But I feel kind of like I'm the only one really pushing for it. So that's, you know, hopefully enough for anybody to vote for me out there.
Well, congratulations on making the runoff, and we'll talk next week. If you end up winning the election, we'll talk more about that and getting ready for January, because it's going to be interesting to see what happens between now and then. That's Community Focus, our public affairs program. We've got much more for you here on 97.5 Glory FM WGTJ.